Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today is Saturday, June 25th, and we have a very special guest. We are going to be welcoming back Ed Roman. Ed is an award-winning singer, songwriter, performer, and multi-instrumentalist, I can never say that word, from Shelbourne, Ontario, Canada. Blurring the lines between pop, rock, folk, and country music, Ed's uniquely crafted songs have received regular rotation on more than 100 radio stations across North America and more than 400 stations worldwide. So I'd like to welcome in Ed Roman. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Katrin, how are you, my dear?
I am excellent. It's so nice to talk with you again.
Yes, yes, on a sunny, beautiful summer day.
Beautiful, beautiful. Are you up in Ontario now?
Yes, I'm hanging out on the farm, and you know, I just planted my garden a little while ago. So, with all that said, you know, tweaking things and seeing things starting to change and grow, and it's been pretty dry here, so I've had to keep up on my watering, and I keep a couple of big, huge, big rain barrels next to our barn where I collect water, and we run that over to the garden and feed things. We call it spot watering, just to keep things the weeds down as well. We put down a lot of straw and stuff. So, but you know, I'm happy to be doing that and doing things with my hands.
Isn't it fun? I think of you often because we have talked about that on numerous occasions, and I just started my flower beds back in April and growing strawberries and beautiful flowers, and I'll have to send you some pictures, but the strawberries, asparagus this year, tomatoes, it's just amazing.
I know, and it feels good, right? I mean, look, I love flowers and all kinds of things in nature. It's just beautiful. I mean, the colors and the frequencies of everything is just staggering, you know, but when you're also too able to provide food, you know, even in a limited space for yourself and or your loved ones, or you have the ability to grow, you know, larger amounts, it's pretty gratifying. I mean, the idea of farming, and people, you know, do struggle with farming, and sometimes it can be really fruitful depending on what you're doing. They do it because it's, you know, especially the family farm, it's a passion thing. It's passed down from generation to generation because people know what that feeling is, aside from, like, look, you know, we have to pay our electric bill and do everything else like every normal human being does. That aspect to what they do with their life is an art form. I mean, it is why they do what they do, you know, and I come from a background of people like that. So I guess in many ways, there's a kinship to art and what that is for me. It kind of keeps that going, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the food, I mean, I can't even tell you how many strawberries I've picked from my own, you know, yard and deck and garden. And this weekend, I'm just going to spend a lot of time making my own jam and even strawberry ice cream. I mean, it's just, it's so amazing, and it just tastes so delicious, you know?
I know. And you know what? That's the thing. It's like when you buy a store-bought that's coming from a long way away, it's picked green or whatever, depending on what we're talking about. But then you have that taste. You're like, man, I paid good money for this, and it tastes like cardboard. But when you taste like a fresh tomato from your backyard, it's like, what the? That's unbelievably good, you know? Like, I just have it on a piece of bread with a little bit of salt and pepper, and that's all I need, a big beefsteak tomato. Holy smoke.
Oh, my gosh, I'm with you. It just tastes so delicious, and it's just, it's so gratifying, and it's so much fun, you know?
And it's funny, too, because for me, then, that sort of, I don't know, philosophical aspect to, or, you know, doing it, then is a heightened, you know, sense of awareness in then the consumption aspect of it, because you're like, boy, this does taste good, but then that feeling of like, yeah, man, that came from right over there. Is really connected to all of that, you know?
It is. I even planted a grape tree. I think those take a year or two to start producing.
Yeah.
Is that correct, you think?
That's right.
Yeah, because I know
And anything, you know, needs to establish just to find its home and figure out what's going on. And
right.
Light source for itself. We just planted a cherry tree on the edge of our apple orchard, and it's taking its time. But last year, maybe 25 cherries. This year it'll probably have about 50, and as it grows, you know, I'll be like, oh, what are we going to do with all these?
I know. Give them away, right? Make everything made with cherry.
Well,
I mean,
you know, cherry jam, like you were saying, ice cream, put them away for smoothies, you know, things like that.
So much fun. I know. My asparagus that I started 2 years ago went absolutely insane. I mean, I couldn't even believe it.
it'll keep growing and growing and go into your lawn. It's like radicchio. Radicchio will do the same thing. If you have a patch, it'll spread. And then, like, 3 years later, you'd be, like, cutting the lawn, and it's like, I'm cutting radicchio, and it can't stop spreading. And then people develop a love-hate relationship with that particular thing. I know some people with cilantro. I've heard it with horseradish. Now they can't get rid of the horseradish. So you kind of have to pick and choose where you put things, because you also don't want to be, like, mad at it either, right?
I remember that from when you and I talked, and then in April, I actually wanted to know what growing sunflowers would actually be like. And, oh, my God, they are, I want to say, 4.5 feet tall now.
Oh, yeah.
Just in the past couple of months from seeds. I mean, it just is. And we've had a ton of rain this season. I mean, just so much rain out here in Seattle. So it's really been good, you know.
Good.
But it's so much fun. It's amazing. I love to talk
wait
to you about
wait till they get to be like 12 feet if they're the, I can't remember. It's not the Van Gogh ones. There's the little shorter ones. And there's different seed strains and names. But the other mammoth ones, they get to be like, can be 12 feet tall. And I had put about 15 of them around like our potato bed just because. And the next like fall when I was like cleaning out the garden and getting it ready for the winter, those things were like trees trying to get them out of the ground. They were like stumps. They were so strong.
Oh, my God. That is just so much fun. I love it. It's just been amazing. And just the flowers, and they have this thing out here at the end of April every year called Fuchsia Saturday. And I had never been, and it's at one of the local stores here in town. So we went there and we bought these beautiful fuchsias for like pennies. I mean, it was just little fuchsia starts, you know. And now I repotted them into the beautiful hanging baskets that I bought. And now I probably have 7 of them on my deck. And they are just exquisite, the pinks and the purples and the reds and the whites. So beautiful.
They transplant well, then, eh?
I was absolutely shocked because I've just discovered this, so quote-unquote, green thumb like 2 years ago.
Good
and
for you.
So, yes, they transplanted absolutely beautiful. I didn't lose one.
Nice.
I know.
And see,
that's
the thing about in propagation like that and just paying attention to what goes on with the plant and what it needs. Some people have gifts for it, like my mom can somehow, like gangbusters, get violets going just from, like, one single leaf, like African violets. And at one point she had, like, 50 of them going, right? And she would give them away to people as gifts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I've tried it a couple times, and I couldn't do it. And I don't know what she's doing that's different. Nothing. I'm using, like, a little bit of root stem, like a little bit of hormone to do it. And basic things. And she's like, no, you're doing it right. I don't know what it is. But, like, you know, I've always had success in starting, like, gourds and cucumbers on my porch and then transplanting them. My mom, she can't. She's like, I don't know what you're doing. I'm like, nothing different than you are. You know, so who knows, right? Who knows?
Right. Oh, my God, that's so funny. I know, I always learn so much when we talk.
That's the importance of speaking, right?
That's exactly right. So I hear through the grapevine, my friend, that you have a brand new album out.
This is correcto. It is correcto.
God.
Well,
let's talk about that.
Sure. What would you like to know?
So let's. I wanted to ask you. So how has 2016 started out for you? And then tell me all about your new album, which is actually called Red Omen. Very cool name.
Thanks. It was an anagram of my own name, Adrian Marcato, Roman Castavet. If you're a Polanski fan, you'll know where that comes from. Need I say more? She chuckles. You know, 2016 has been great. We had a cold spell here in Canada. We had a bad ice storm. It took down some of our trees. It was a bit devastating. 5 days without any power. And that was a bit crazy. So with that said, you know, spring was welcome in a big way. And, you know, it was great, like I said, starting all my stuff, all my plants. And it's kind of funny, you know, I'm with the gardener mentality, you know. Last August, I was, you know, embarked on the new project, Red Omen. And Michael and I had been cutting stuff here in the studio for months. And some of the tracks went to Berlin. Tobias Tinker played keyboards on a couple of tracks. So Xander Demos in Pittsburgh played a solo on one of the tracks. And Michelle Rasky did some vocals on some of the tracks. And then we built the record slowly over that time frame. So it's like when I release Letters from High Latitudes, that was a spring release. It was that kind of time of the year of growth, planting seeds. It's the same thing with Red Omen. We released it on June 7th, I know, just before the solstice. And, you know, for me, that's kind of got some sort of, you know, without sounding too hokey, a cosmic kind of paganistic metaphor, you know, inside of why, you know, I let it go then. You know, could have waited till the summer or the fall even again, but... You know, I kind of work that way. I even have, like a lot of people don't realize, this pyramid, glass pyramid in my backyard. Inside of it, I have an amalgam of quartz that I've collected, and deep within the ground on a double moon one night, I buried all of my music deep in the ground next to the roots of an old maple tree. And it sounds like it might come from a book, but that's kind of how I work. It's kind of what makes my life feel, you know, fun and more so connected to the cosmic aspect to what I do and why I feel I'm here. And I guess with that said, the Red Omen thing and the anagram of my own name and the music that's on there, even the single that's out, I Am Love, that tune is kind of like, you know, a metaphor and or a mantra or... Because it's three lines, really. If you look at it, it could be a haiku. It's something that I needed, and as an empath, you know, many people are. They just don't know how to react to it sometimes. I can't help but not get into funks. We're humans. We go through emotional bell curves, and I needed some kind of a mantra, you know, to keep me going through what was going on. So that tune became kind of the focus of what the album represented. If you listen to the music, you're going to hear that four-letter word a number of times. You're going to hear the word red or symbolizations that represent that redness. Something is getting hot, you know, that is something that could get red depending on what it is that's getting hot. All of that is sort of tied into the language and the librettos that are in the songs. So, you know, and that's I work as in the same way. It's like, well, you know, while Ed's out under a tree or in his bathtub writing a song, for me, the songwriting experience, I guess, like when you read a novel or a book or you're told a story, seems magical in some kind of a way. And finding that information when I was at my worst brought me to the realization that, wait a minute, you know, why are you here, Ed? Why do you, you know, you're in grade 9 or something, and your teacher stands up and says, what do you want to be one day? You know, like, that whole kind of thing, I think, through us as human beings, hopefully in a conscious mind, is continually being asked, what am I doing with myself here? Is this good? Is this bad? All of those things. You know, writing music and telling stories, aside from, you know, laughing about it or people getting a vibe or feeling it or really digging it, that's the big part of it, true. But the underlying current for me is, you know, the message. That the message, even in that lyric, I'm a messenger, I'm a radical, I am love. It's not me saying that I am love. I'm trying to be more loving every day of my life with whatever I'm dealing with, even including my own psyche. So it's like the message is, and as a messenger, you know, it's radical to react to those negativities in this day and age, especially the ones that really oppress us, the ones that would make us stand there, shake our heads and go, how many people were just killed? Do you know how many people have died in the crossfire of war in the last 100 years? You know, all of those kinds of things for me, because I'm always thinking about this, other than the immediate shock of what has just gone on, is how do I react? How do I face this? What is the method to behind what this is? And for me, anger, and from what I've learned from theologians, great archetypes, that aggression is not the way. So I guess for me, again, it's trying to amplify that, not only in my own life, but in the music that I put out there that people listen to.
Amazing. Amazing. I just, it's a really cool and just really amazing. And is this your first video, Ed?
No, I've done multiple videos. From the last record, there was I Found God, which won an Academy Award, Independent Music Award. So did Jamaica, which was from the last record. I Told You So, Coming My Way was up for a whole bunch of videos as well. This one, I'm just in the middle of editing, actually, is... You know, it's trying to sort of in a way tell a story, but not. And there's, because the track is all me, and I'm playing all the instrumentation, there's like studio session stuff of me playing the track. But it's trying to, you know, send out the vibe and the message and push it out in a way that it's like, you know, I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. I'm wearing a red jumpsuit and spiking my hair and acting like a rooster. I'm just Ed. I like people that do that. I think it's cool, but that's not me.
It's not me either. I totally, I'm with you on that. But it's nice just to be yourself, you know, and write cool music that people really enjoy and love, you know.
Right.
Connect with, like you said, could totally connect with, you know. That's great.
And try to, for me, like even that, again, that cathartic aspect of writing a tune, it's like, well, why did this just happen? Like, you know, aside from the original spark of an idea, you know, it starts pulling you through the process. So then it becomes even more than what you actually thought it could be because you're following it that way. It's not just about trying to write a hit or whatever.
Right.
And I guess art has always, and the music that I've gravitated to has always been a part of what that is.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, congratulations. That's really awesome. I was
Thank you.
And when Micah was telling me about this, I was like, this is great. You know, good for Ed.
Do you spin vinyl? Do you have a way to listen to vinyl on your own?
I don't.
If I sent you and you sent me your mailing address and I sent you a vinyl copy of the record, which I'm going to have pressed in a little while, would you accept?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? For sure.
I still spin vinyl, you know.
I'd be honored.
Vinyl. No, okay,
I'd
cool.
be honored. That's awesome.
Okay, cool.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So what's on your agenda for the rest? I can't even believe I'm saying this, Ed, for the rest of 2016. I mean, we're already at the end of June, which is crazy. But so what's on your calendar and in your plans for the rest of the year?
Well, that's a great question. There's, as you may or may not have known, I've signed a distribution licensing deal with Nub Country Records and Orchard Records in the UK, and there's talk of me going. Yeah, it's really cool, and that means that the music gets out even to more people, which means me perhaps, you know, hoofing it over there and doing some playing, and I want to get back to the States again. Last year I was from Texas to New York, and a lot of playing, you know, South by Southwest for Red Gorilla. It was like a really great experience being out there and just doing it in a bigger place, let's just say, you know, in a different place than Canada. And then I want to head back to the West Indies for a bit of a retreat sometime in 20, I can't believe it's 17, in February. I know, it's like what I'm planning
crazy.
For 8 months from, I know. But what do? You know how life is, Catherine, man, it just moves so fast that if you don't stop and make plans, it just slips by.
Could not agree with you more. You got to enjoy every day, and it sounds so cliche, but I really try to do that, you know. I really do in my professional life, my personal life. It's important, you know.
Well, my mom always said life, you know, every day is a gift, so, you know, try to enjoy it as much as you can, right?
You know what? That's so true, because you just never know. You have to enjoy it, embrace it, do what makes you happy, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, I think, you know, just even people that I know that have left the building or... you know, it may just that subtle hook of reality comes into play. Like, you know, you're just like you said so eloquently. It's like, yeah, you know, one day we're here and one day we're not. You know,
exactly.
That's what we have to. I guess for me, again, what reamplifies the whole factor behind, like, why, you know, you feel the way you do about certain situations, or if you have, you know, knowledge, or you study certain things and you see certain things and people being taken advantage of, it's unjust. It's not
mm-hmm.
right. So you can't help, as I said, not be affected by it. But it's important to wield instead of a weapon, some sort of action that's, you know, the opposite of what it expects. The aggression
exactly.
is what it is, what aggression expects.
right, exactly.
Misery
oh
loves company.
I know. Well, Ed, if you could let our listeners know where they can find you online, that would be awesome.
Absolutely. EdRoman.net is where you can come and get a hold of me and check out everything that I'm doing, from new stuff, blogs, articles, great shows like this. You can also get my social networking buttons, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Check me out on SoundCloud. The new album is out, CD Baby, my friends in Portland. You can get the physical copies from them sent directly to you. You can get them from me at my website. It's digital distribution all over the place, including CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon. Check it out, Red Omen. I'll make you laugh and make you think a little too, probably.
We love that. We love that. Well, Ed, you're the best. I always, always enjoy speaking with you. Thank you so much for coming on today.
An extreme pleasure, Catherine, always.
Oh,
you have yourself a wonderful day.
Thank you, Ed. You as well, and we'll connect again really soon.
Thank you, dear.
Okay, thank you. Bye, Ed.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So that's Ed Roman, everyone, one of my favorite people in the whole world. And like he said, you can find him at edroman.com. And thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope everyone has a fabulous, fabulous day, and we will see you guys again soon. Bye for now.